If God does something great, should you tell everybody, or is that bragging? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on sharing the results of what God has done. My name is Paul Dibdahl. My conversation partners are Patty McCoy, chaplain at Walla Walla University, and Dr. Alex Bryan, senior pastor at the Walla Walla University Church. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you. And let's move right into that initial question. As we witness, as we share the good news of Christ to others, there are wonderful stories that we might be able to tell. How important is it to share those stories with others? Or maybe even should we share those stories with others?
I think especially in you know, call it postmodern culture, post-postmodern, whatever you want to call it, stories are really what we live by. And so to be able to share the stories of the good things that are happening, of the ways in which God is working, the Spirit is moving, Jesus is showing up in the lives of others and what the transformation looks like, I think it encourages the body of Christ. It gives you a sense that, you know, we are doing something that is making a difference and an impact. And so I think there are going to be really positive outcomes from sharing those good things that are happening and letting, you know, the person that is involved in one particular area within the church know what's happening within another particular area of the church that encourages them as a part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, I think we can argue for some great things that can come out of sharing those stories and testimonies.
Mm-hmm. And I think we see a biblical model there, Patty. In Hebrews 11, you have all these stories of great people of faith and all the powerful things that have been done. And then at the turn there at Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since we've heard so many great stories, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And it's almost like, wow, we've been inspired by these stories. Now this is motivating us to go do something else. And I think that's where stories can be quite powerful about things that have happened.
I think of our family illustration here. It's getting more and more difficult to do this as our children grow older, but we prize as a family the time when we can sit around the table is when it is in the evening and talk about the day. And we share the good things that happened in the day as a family. And it's a way for us to maintain contact with one another, to know, as you said, Patty, maybe, you know, what other parts of the body of Christ are doing, to be mutually encouraged, edified. And I think those are tremendous, tremendous blessings. Are there potential dangers?
Sure.
In reporting?
I think that it can get dangerous when you decide that there's only certain stories that are shared that produced certain results in a certain way. I think you can do it to make something look, maybe put a false, a facade out there, maybe of what's happening without, maybe sharing some of the challenges or the negative things, drawing attention to ourselves, other negative outcomes.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think that it can be, there's a fine line between encouraging people with rousing stories from the front and discouraging people. And I think that we can run the risk, particularly as church leaders, of standing up front and saying, "And this is the amazing thing that happened." Well, the truth is that even in the ministry of Jesus, great things happened, but also there were people who said no to him. And we need to be able to tell the realistic stories where things didn't turn out so well. And sometimes, in a strange way, that can be motivating because you can go, "Oh,
yeah.
So it didn't work out for Jesus either.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for Pastor Dibdahl either.
Yeah.
Others struggle as well. So I think that both stories, Patty's exactly right, are important to tell.
Yeah, that's true. If you look at Jesus going to the cross by normal Western standards, he was a huge failure.
Yeah.
in that sense, that out of the 12 people that he invested his life into for 3 years, there was only one that we know of that was there at the cross. You know, so, I mean, he seemed as if he went to the tomb a failure, so to speak, by worldly standards of success. But knowing that I talked to students about that, and they've never really thought about it before and thought, wow, that boy, that must have been hard.
Yeah. How much can we trust reports? Everybody, two people may experience the same reality and come back with some very, very different stories. I'm thinking of a biblical example. In the book of Numbers, we have 12 men, each leaders from their tribe, that are to go cross over into the land of Canaan and bring back a report on what they find there. And you have the same reality experienced and yet very, very different reports. Hmm. That's just part of being human, isn't it? So how valuable are reports, given that they come to us through human beings that are not always trustworthy? I guess, is it the best we can do? I don't really like my question now that I think about it.
Well, I think it's a good question because we constantly in this life have to filter the stories we hear. Now, there's some people, and you could probably think of one in your life, who they always spin the story to the good. And we know that they just exaggerate everything, and we kind of think, well, whatever that person told, it probably wasn't quite what they're saying. And then there's other people that are constantly negative. Everything is horrible. And we think, well, it's probably not quite as bad as what they're describing. So I think that it is natural for us and important for us in every aspect of life to be able to sort through stories. And I think that spills over to the stories of evangelism. We need to make sure that it's well known that pastors like to spin their evangelistic stories to make them more dramatic and more successful than they really are. It's kind of a joke in the industry, in the pastoral community. Well, we got to be careful about that. And at the same time, when we hear, oh, whoa, the church is horrible and nothing's happened, well, hang on. Maybe it's not quite as bad as we might think as well. So it's enormously important for us to sort through the stories that we hear, to not get too high or too low, but to try to deal in reality as close as we can.
True. And I think there's also the biblical principle of by their fruit. You will know them. If somebody is talking about all their baptisms, and maybe you even see those, but it's more about, you know, getting them under the water than working in discipleship and towards life change, which as we know is a longer process typically. Mm-hmm. That, you know, are those people that are getting baptized into the church, are they staying with it? Are they integrating into the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. Are they contributing to that down the road? Or after, you know, a year or two, are they just gone and no one knows where they are? Mm-hmm. Because they were just another number, mm-hmm. or so to speak. I think the by their fruit principle is important to look at in the discernment process.
And reporting, it seems to me like reporting is important because what it enables us to do is to, in a sense, it enables us to evaluate what we're doing. It's not just trying to do good things as a church or as an individual, as a group, but then we ask, well, what happened? Mm. Is that what we wanted to have happen? Is there then a way that we might be able to do things differently so that the report, the consequences end up being better?
Yeah, and I think it's important to help people connect the dots too in ministry, so to speak. We talked several weeks ago about how evangelism in the corporate sense involves so many different kinds of people that give of their gifts or their time or had an impact. And in reporting, I think it does a similar thing. It helps people see how their contribution maybe helped in the process, mm-hmm. For somebody coming to know Jesus. And I'll use a recent thing for us. And we asked the church and the community here in the Walla Walla Valley to donate blankets for our homeless ministry. Well, somebody donates a blanket, and if they never hear what happens to that blanket, you know, how will they know if they ever made a difference? Mm-hmm. But if you give a report that says, boy, you know, we took those blankets down there and we watched the faces just light up as we handed them to those that were cold and needed something to lay on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then somebody knows, ah, I made a difference. Mm-hmm. And I did that by donating a blanket.
Yeah, wonderful. What is the story? What is the report on the status of Christianity in the world today? We have a little discussion guide here that we can look at as we talk together. This question isn't on the discussion guide. But what is the story? It's been some 2,000 years now since Jesus walked the earth. If you had to report on the status, the success, or the lack of success of Christianity in the world, what would you say? How have we done?
Well, if you began where Patty was just a few minutes ago, talking about the disciples scattered about at the crucifixion, and you had told some people, oh, by the way, the number will be in the billions around the globe, they would have laughed. If you pull back and look at the story over a couple thousand years, it's extraordinary where the gospel has gone and where the name of Jesus is proclaimed.
One-third of the world now, right about 33%, would consider themselves a Christian. It's a lot of people.
And what's interesting, even among those groups, other major world religions like Judaism or Islam, great respect for the story of Jesus, even though not a personal embrace. Mm-hmm. So astonishing how this – we talked a couple weeks ago about how Jesus only really – his story was about 3 years long. Unbelievable how this thing has – this story that has been reported over and over and over again has become – the story in many ways of world history.
Okay, that's some good news. We didn't leave much time for the bad news, but if we were to report on maybe things that would be concerning about what Christianity is doing in the world today.
You know,
and
I think,
don't hardly have time for it, but go ahead and give it a shot.
There's certainly a lot that have hurt a lot of people in the name of Jesus and in the name of Christianity. And there's plenty of people in our culture that have this kind of, you know, I've been there, I've done that, I've heard that, I've seen some horrible effects of those that proclaim to know the name of Jesus Christ. And so I think in those circles, we have a lot of work to do to kind of reverse that hurt or the pain that's been caused from some that proclaim to be following Jesus when maybe there wasn't that's the same gospel that we understand.
Yeah, the gospel that is proclaimed is not always lived, it's not always expressed in people's lives, and that then leads to a lot of hurt, I think. Well, thank you, Patty and Alex, for your willingness once again to share with us. Thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. I'd also like to thank you for listening in. I hope that you will plan on joining us again next week. May God bless you. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.